listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for your support of The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu. We get to tell a story today about serving internationally and some positions that are also available if you have an interest in serving overseas with the LCMS Office of International Mission. You're going to learn how you can do that today. Joining me in the studio is Aaron McKenzie, volunteer coordinator in the LCMS in the Latin America and Caribbean region with the LCMS Office of International Mission. Thanks for joining me today, Aaron.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
And Ariana Gomez, Manager of Missionary Recruitment with the LCMS Office of International Mission. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So we get to tell your story, Aaron, about how you serve. And we talk a lot with you about the different opportunities that are happening, the things that happen in the Latin America and Caribbean region. A lot of opportunities for people to serve as volunteers,
yes,
and you're the one that gets...
I feel like I'm on here all the time.
You are on all the time. So now we actually get to tell your story about more of the work that you do to make all of those things happen, because there's a lot of things that happen in that region. So we're going to go way back to the beginning. So when did you first learn about being a volunteer coordinator in this position?
So I did not know that this position existed. I actually have previously served as sort of a volunteer coordinator. I was a geo missionary, a shorter term missionary with a fixed time commitment right out of college. And the position was called servant event coordinator. I was working at a RSO. But then years later, I was working at a different job. I didn't know this position existed. And then I crossed paths with the regional director for Latin America, who's my current manager, and he got to know a little bit. And meanwhile, he knows that the field had a need for someone to run their volunteer efforts. And as we got to talking more and more, we parted ways there, and he just kind of said, "Let's talk." And he gave me his business card. And it had his wife's phone number on the back. And he said, that said to me that he was serious. He said, "If you can't get a hold of me, call Becca." And then I didn't hear anything for a month, but the seed had kind of been planted that there was this thing that he wanted to talk more about in the Dominican Republic that sounded really intriguing. And so after a month, I called him and I said, "Talk to me." And he was going to be in St. Louis the following week. So we met up and I thought, we arranged to meet up, and I thought we were going to like go to Starbucks and it was going to be very casual, but it was kind of like a job interview. He brought the current business manager with him, who I had never met, and it was basically a job interview for a job that I didn't know anything about. But basically it was like he had read my autobiography. I don't have an autobiography, but it was like, as he described what the position would consist of, it was as if everything in my life had been preparation for it. I mean, that part is probably true. And it was the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I found out about it. It found me.
It found you. I feel like a lot of things end up finding us at the right place in the right time.
Yeah.
As the Holy Spirit wills. Good stuff. So what kinds of things, as you learned about this position, what kinds of things were you considering? What questions did you have? What was kind of like, I don't really know about this part of what's happening.
Well, I didn't really know anything about the Dominican Republic to begin with. I had to look up what the capital was. And I guess I just kind of, I'm one of those people that wants to know all the things about everything. Like, I just wanted to know exactly what I was going to be doing. And that was kind of challenging because there was no volunteer coordinator role. I wasn't taking someone's position. It was a newly created position.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of paving the way and making things up as I went along,
mm-hmm.
which is challenging for someone who likes to have kind of black and white expectations. It was like, well, it can be whatever it needs to wind up being.
Yeah, that can be really challenging when it's kind of a blank slate and you kind of have to figure out
but
your own way.
It's exciting, too.
It is very exciting. Yeah, yeah. So what kind of orientation, preparation, training did you get to go through that prepared you for what you were going to be doing?
So I went through the same orientation process that all new missionaries go through, or a version of it. This was 2018, so mm-hmm. the orientation has grown and developed, and it looks a bit different now.
Yeah.
But at the time, after I gave notice at my previous job, the first thing I did was come to the International Center in St. Louis. I actually lived in St. Louis. I'm born and raised from St. Louis, so I just went to the International Center for a week of orientation, but I was like living at my house. So it was a week in person with other missionaries that were going out to other regions. And basically that first week was kind of how to be a good communicator, how to write a newsletter, how to give a compelling presentation. What is your hook? What is the piece about your job that's going to make people want to be a part of the network that supports you? So we did that, and then we got sent out for about 6 weeks of actual support raising in the real world, traveling around and presenting for congregations and Bible study groups and school chapels and things like that. And then we came back together, the same cohort of us, for a second week. And that week was mostly about, okay, let's prepare you for the nuts and bolts of moving overseas. So we talked about culture shock and, you know, insurance and taxes and all that sort of thing. And then we did a version of the Grace Place retreat. Then when I got to the field, there's another period of on-field orientation where if you're going anywhere in the Latin America region, your first stop is the Dominican Republic. It just so happened that that was going to be my final destination also. So that's where you meet the regional team that is there to support you, and you learn how to learn a culture. So you are doing language acquisition. I also had the tremendous blessing of already speaking Spanish. So if you didn't speak Spanish, a new missionary, even before in-person orientation, I believe, would start with language acquisition virtually. And then you'd be doing that the whole time. And it would really ramp up when you got to the field. So I just did a little bit of that. It was mostly learning the culture. And then as far as learning my specific job, like I said, there was nobody to kind of say, this is what you do, because this is how I do it. There were people, though, that were hosting volunteers, because we definitely had volunteers in LAC before I came on board. So it was just sort of piecing together what was being done, and then maybe streamlining it. And I did have that geo term also to point back to and to rely on and go, okay, I've done this before and we did it like this, and that really worked well. So it was just kind of taking everything and bringing it under my umbrella.
So you've been doing this for, is that 6 years now, if I do the math right?
Yeah, I've been about a missionary for 6 years. I've been deployed for about 5.5 of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So how have things grown over the last 6 years? What are some of the things you've been able to do? All the things that we talked to you about, all of those opportunities, how has that grown since when you first got on the ground to what you're able to do today?
Well, people ask me all the time, like, how many teams do you have in a year? And that's been a really hard question to answer until very recently, because when I first came on board, it was like I was learning my job. I was, you know, figuring out what I was doing with my life in another country. But, so that was not normal. And that, you know, that's probably a good year. And then we had a global pandemic. And
That happened.
So I didn't actually host a single team on field for a year and a half. But the job is specifically titled volunteer coordinator, not short-term team coordinator or short-term team host. It's volunteer coordinator. And so I really got to explore lots of different ways that the volunteer coordinator is also about educating and engaging the church, the sending church, and that doesn't necessarily mean on the field. So really got to explore all of the, you know, cobwebs in the corners of my job during that time period. And then we had a little bit of time after the pandemic to sort of rebuild from the pandemic. So it wasn't really until the fall of 2020 that things kind of ramped up to what I would say was a normal level. And then I think 2023 is a good example of what a normal year is. I don't really know, because it was kind of the first one. But in LAC in 2023, we hosted, I think, somewhere around 25 teams in our entire region. And I personally hosted 16 of them.
Wow.
So just getting back up to that that kind of pace has been a really big shift.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what it's like to host that many teams in a region. I have no concept of what goes into that. What goes into preparing for a team coming to the region? What kind of preparations do you have to do in order for the people on the field to be ready, for the team to be ready, for all those what are the logistics that go into doing all
that? So my job when it comes to having a team on the field actually starts way back with identifying the opportunities. Mm-hmm. I sit on what we call our regional team. And so that really gives me kind of a bird's eye view to lots of things that are going on in various areas of the region. So as I hear of needs or read of needs, I get to help refine those opportunities, identify, hey, that'd be a great chance for some volunteers to get involved in our work. And then I get to refine those until they're at a point where we can post them to the wider church on the LCMS website. And then once we have people that are interested, I get to start dialoguing with them, identifying a mutually agreeable date and location and project that really fits with their demographics and their interests and their skill level and everything. And then I work very closely with a couple of colleagues that are based in this building here in St. Louis at the International Center. And they kind of do a lot of the pre-trip logistics. But there's multiple different areas that we are working with teams on before they deploy to the field to make sure that they're ready for the security concerns of traveling overseas, making sure that they know what to pack and they have a passport and that kind of thing, making sure that they are physically fit to travel, making sure that they know what they're going to be doing. And if they're doing something like leading a vacation Bible school, they have to plan their vacation Bible school. So making sure that they know what their project is and if there's anything they need to start doing stateside for their project. And then making sure that they're spiritually prepared also. There's a series of devotional books that we equip all of our teams with. And there's one for... So my St. Louis colleagues help out with a ton of that kind of stuff. And then meanwhile, I'm in the field, whether it's the DR or I also host mission teams that travel to other locations. And I'm doing things that only I can do as someone who speaks the language and knows the context and has the relationships with my fellow missionaries, with our local staff, national workers, national pastors, and also people like bus drivers or caterers or different vendors like that. So I'm setting up those kinds of things. And then immediately before the team gets there, like we're talking a day or two, I'm making sure the beds are made and printing out a copy of their schedule so I can post it on the bulletin board, and going to the grocery store and buying them a lot of food to eat and going to the hardware store if I need to, or getting whatever kinds of supplies are needed, and just double checking with all of the people that I've lined up different activities with on the ground. Latinos are not exactly known for planning super far in advance. So that's sometimes a bit of a rub. I have to plan things in advance. I live in the future, but my host culture does not.
Yeah, there's so many big and small logistics that go into bringing a team onto a field. And what we have more to talk about with the volunteer coordinator positions open with the LCMS Office of International Mission. And we'll come back to that right after this break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. We're talking with Aaron McKenzie, Volunteer Coordinator in the Latin America and Caribbean region with the LCMS Office of International Mission, and Ariana Gomez, Manager of Missionary Recruitment with the LCMS Office of International Mission. And Aaron, you were telling us your story about how you learned about this Volunteer Coordinator position that you're currently serving in and all of the logistics that go into planning for teams to come into the field. What are some of the projects that are going on currently that you get to help coordinate?
So there's a wide variety, and I'm constantly learning of new ones. Part of my job is helping to keep the Latin America section of the database of opportunities current. But one that we are really emphasizing that you've probably heard me on here before talking about as I've joined past volunteers that have done it is what we call mission education. And essentially, it's coming down not to do what many North Americans consider mission work, not doing a building project, not doing a vacation Bible school, not giving out medicines all week, but instead really walking alongside the missionaries and the local workers in a given field. And in our case, in the Dominican seminary students. So it's just really exposure to everything that's going on in a very participatory way. So attending classes and Bible studies and meetings and worship services, maybe leading a Bible lesson for kids or for youth or adults with disabilities, or planning a craft project, maybe a service project for half a day or for a day, observing lots of different community outreach, community home visits, so that you get to see where our members live and what their daily existence looks like, sharing meals in missionary homes so that you get to meet a wide variety of missionaries that serve in lots of different vocations, meet their kids if they have kids, and just see what their houses look like. So it's very customizable based on the demographics of the group. And I've done it for everywhere from high schoolers through older adults. It's really kind of, it applies to lots of different demographics. And that is, it's growing in popularity without us really trying, but we are going to make an emphasis to do more of that type of team. And it's really fun for me to do. I really enjoy putting together those itineraries for them.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be really fun. Ariana, what kind of international opportunities to serve in a way similar to how Aaron is serving, what kinds of opportunities are available right now?
Yeah, we're actually just looking to duplicate Aaron several times and have many more volunteer coordinators. Just kidding about duplicating her. But we do have open positions for multiple volunteer coordinators to serve on the field currently. Latin America is a hot spot for short-term service and a lot of volunteers who go there. So there are three different countries in Latin America looking for volunteer coordinators. That would be Panama, Belize, and the Dominican Republic. And those would be kind of country-focused, one of them helping also with regional short-term service opportunities. And Aaron's position is a regional volunteer coordinator for all of Latin America. We're looking for that similar role in Africa as well. So someone who wouldn't be in one specific country, but would be kind of all over the region coordinating volunteers.
So there's several opportunities.
Yes.
Open right now for service. And this sounds like a really great position for somebody who has a wide skill set. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So I always joke, volunteer coordinators, I can't really put them in a box. Like when we're looking for business missionaries, sure, business degree, super helpful. But volunteer coordinators, it's, yeah, hard to define. But someone who is comfortable with details and logistics, like we've heard, lots of organizational skills are certainly helpful and needed. I would also say it helps to be a people person. I don't know, maybe Aaron would agree with that, but you're working with a lot of people, not only the local partners but also the volunteers who are coming from the States as well. But someone who's able to kind of zone in on the details and organize things, but also can be flexible in the moment, because anyone who has traveled overseas knows that other cultures don't necessarily function the same way that we do. Aaron talking about planning differences mm-hmm. and things like that. So we do come up with all these plans, and then, I don't know, Aaron, has every single one of your trips gone exactly as you planned it?
Yes. What are you talking about? Of course. No, probably not a single one. I tell every single team on the day they get there that we use flexibility often on the mission field, and sometimes I don't even bother printing the schedule because either I know I'm still making changes to it after I pick them up from the airport, or I know that I'm going to make changes to it. So I just tell them that from the get-go.
Flexibility, number Absolutely. One trait.
Yep. Absolutely. Being yep. able to go with the flow.
Yep. Yeah. Aaron, do you have any other insight into skills or gifts that people may need to serve in a position like this?
Definitely organization. Like Ari said, it's a lot of keeping track of details, numbers. And I mean, I'm kind of known on our field as like the Excel spreadsheet whiz. I pale in comparison to our business office, but I do really, really enjoy a good Excel spreadsheet. And, yes. you know, I get kind of sad when I make a beautiful Excel spreadsheet and then like no one appreciates it as much as I do. This happens frequently. So I try to bring a lot of structure to my position. And in part of my pre-field preparation, it was identified that I lead others with a lot of structure, which surprises no one. But it might surprise many people. It does surprise a lot of volunteers when they learn that I'm actually very, very introverted. So it is possible to do a very people-facing job. It doesn't mean that I don't like people. I love people. I'm fascinated by people and cultures, and I love meeting each of the team members and really getting to know them and dialoguing with them and figuring out who they are and sharing my life with them and answering all of their questions. I truly enjoy that. And so lots of people don't realize that it does get kind of draining for me towards the end of a week or when I've done that multiple weeks in a row. I just need a day where I don't get out of bed or talk to anyone.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I am an introvert, and I still love being in front of people.
Yes, I very much understand that. Introverts can do this job too. I like that. It's a good thing to point out.
Yeah.
Arianna, what does the application process look like for someone who's interested in doing this?
Yeah, so it's probably helpful to point out that in my role, I work specifically with people who are considering long-term service. Mm-hmm. So that is 2+ years. And all of those volunteer coordinator positions I mentioned would be that long-term, the 2+ years on the field. So the application process for long-term service, it's pretty involved because picking up your whole life and moving to another country is a pretty big thing to do.
Yeah.
All for the purpose of sharing the gospel, so it's all worth it. But the application process is I'd say takes about 2 to 3 months at a comfortable pace. It starts with your standard application form plus a document that we call Questions for Missionary Candidates, just 12 short answer, open-ended questions of points we want to make sure you're thinking through, discernment points to help you think through missionary service. The next step is a theological questionnaire, a combination of multiple choice, some short answer questions, and it's open resource. Use your Bible, ask your pastor, Book of Concord. It sometimes sounds scary to people, but just want to make sure that asking questions about kind of standard Lutheran theology, just want to make sure that if we're sending you out to represent the LCMS, that we're all on the same page about those things. Mm-hmm. So the next step is then a theological conversation with a pastor on our staff here, just an opportunity to chat. And part of that is a chance to look at the questionnaire and if there's any points of clarification that he can provide.
Mm-hmm.
The next step is an aptitude assessment, which is, we do this through an outside third party. They're looking for 3 main things: fit for role, fit for the organization, and fit for expatriate life, so overseas mm. service. So that's a big step as well. And then a few other things going on, background checks, references, all those things. We do also have you do a physical just to make sure you're physically fit to serve overseas. So there's several steps along the process, and we walk you through each one of them. But like I said, it takes about 2 to 3 months typically.
So what's the first step? Where can someone go to do to start the application process.
I would love to talk to you. Just if that's emailing me or texting me or calling me, just somehow getting in touch with me. And I usually start that with a Zoom conversation just to get to know you and share a little more. So yeah, I would reach out to me and I would love to chat with you.
And we'll put your contact information in the show notes for this episode so people can do that if they're interested. With just about a minute left, Erin, do you have words of wisdom to somebody who may be considering doing a position like what you get to do?
It's the best job in the world. I still say that even after 5.5 years. So I think that's a good sign. So come join me, come do it with me. And then you might be the only other person that could also say that, because anyone else who does is wrong.
Joining me today, Erin McKenzie, Volunteer Coordinator in the Latin America and Caribbean region with the LCMS Office of International Mission. Thanks so much for joining me, Erin.
You're welcome.
And Ariana Gomez, Manager of Missionary Recruitment with the LCMS Office of International Mission. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.